Inside Speedway is brought to you by P1 Australia and by Speedway Classics Magazine, on sale now. From the dirt tracks across Australia, welcome to Inside Speedway with Dennis Newman and Craig Revell.
Darren Tindall joins us on the show, and the CEO of Speedway Australia, 18 months in the job, but last weekend we saw the Australian Speedway Expo and Speedway Awards. Darren, congratulations on what was a fantastic weekend for the sport of Speedway down there in Melbourne.
Thanks very much, Craig. It was our third round, or third Expo and combined Hall of Fame. And certainly we broke all the records this year.
You have, in your time since coming into the top job at Speedway Australia, been slowly making some changes and working through it. What do you think has been the big thing that the Expo has been able to do for Speedway, and what is the industry realising about it?
Great question, Craig. I think for us, it's all about bringing the sport together. When they first, the first Expo was held on the Gold Coast a few years ago, and they had, I think, 11 sites there, and that was including some of the national divisions. So we took it from there and then took it to Melbourne. And, you know, everybody knows Melbourne is the home of sport, and certainly the home of motorsport. So it was about trying to bring it somewhere where we had the highest number of license holders. So we have the highest number of license holders in Speedway or in Victoria as a combined group. So I think last year we were in around about 1,600 square metres and had around 25 exhibitors and national divisions. And this year, as I said, we broke all the records where we had every national division was represented at the Expo. And I think we had about 40 exhibitors there as well. The feedback has just been sensational. Like, you know, we had record crowd coming through, which was great. But the vendors were talking a lot about the amount of sales they were able to make, the amount of inquiries they were able to make, and it gave them a great opportunity to share some knowledge. You know, back to the Speedway community as well about their parts and supplies, and answer a lot of questions that have been on everyone's minds for a long time.
It's an interesting, I guess, tightrope you have to walk at Speedway Australia. You don't necessarily promote the events because each track has a promoter. You are the overarching sanctioning body, but every division has its own sanctioning and own licensing. So how does Speedway Australia negotiate so many disparate groups?
Great question. So, look, you know, at the end of the day, we are a licensing body and we look after the safety side of the rule book. So, again, most divisions like SCCA, the Sprint Car Control Council Australia, and, you know, Speedway Sedans Australia, they have their own rule book. As far as the technical side go, but roll up into our safety rules. We also look after, from a licensing point of view, we look after all the stewards and marshals and scrutineers as well. So, again, they have to go through, you know, their Speedway Sedans Australia club, but then we license and we give all of those people their complimentary insurance when they get licensed. So we are a peak body. But sitting underneath us is, you know, collective group, national divisions that do have their own rules.
Well, part of the weekend last weekend was the awarding of some of those peak body awards. And having been there with some people who don't have an interest in Speedway, they were blown away by the professionalism. And then the video that you were able to show about Speedway's impact and reach into the communities that it serves blew them away with the numbers and the amount of economic impact.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And, congratulations to my team, and especially Ben Bishop, for pulling all of that together. It's interesting, I sat behind the curtain in Speedway for many, many years, probably 30 years, racing as a racer. And then, to come across to actually being the CEO of the sport, you look through the other side of the curtain, and it's truly amazing. We're a $2 billion economic impact into the Australian economy. $2 billion is not something to be sneezed at. The amount, especially for these small towns and these country communities, the money that is, that is flowing through there because of Speedway. And it's one of our key challenges, Craig, when our sports development officers do a lot of work with the local tracks. And a lot of that is around making sure that they've got a really strong relationship with their local shire. Now, we know the tracks that operate really, really well and get that extra little bit of funding have really good relationships with their local shires, and that the shire can see it, can understand it, that they are bringing, money, revenue into their local town.
Talking about liaison with government, I know you've been heavily involved in that this week, working and as the overarching body showing the whole picture to various governments where you're trying to build new relationships and improve the opportunities there for Speedway to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. We get, I get asked a lot on behalf of, someone who might be looking, they might be a promoter of their own track privately, or they might be a club. Could myself come in and, talk to the local mayor, or, talk to the local MP, around the impacts of Speedway in that area, to try and get some of those improvements, or even, potentially new racetracks built in different areas.
Well, since we've gone to a new racetrack, we saw Archerfield close down last weekend. Is that high on the list, getting back into Brisbane?
Absolutely. We've seen what happens when racetracks in capital cities close down. We've seen what happened in Adelaide when the Speedway in Adelaide closed down. The numbers and license holders and competitors just dwindled. They just dropped dramatically. We've seen it in Parramatta after Parramatta was closed for a couple of years. We call it the jet ski effect. And if people don't have racetracks, they need something else to do. So they'll go and buy a motorbike, a jet ski, a boat, and go and do something else. When the new racetrack is built, it's then trying to convince those people to come back to Speedway. And that is not an easy task.
Do you have the data that says it also hits the regional areas if the capital city track is closed?
We do, absolutely. We've seen this in Adelaide that, Murray Bridge is not that far away. It's only, an hour and a little bit up the hill, but people just don't want to travel. You have people that just want to run at their local track, and when that track's gone, the numbers just go backwards. They just go backwards from there. So it will affect other racetracks when the travellers do travel. They will be looking for somewhere else to race. So point in case, there is a whole club down on the Gold Coast called Surf Paradise Sedans. They only ever really race at Archerfield. That's probably the only place they ever race. And now they're looking to try and get in to race somewhere else, which is really hard, because they're not a national division. They're only a club class. And your Toowoombas and, Maryborough's and places like that have already got all their national divisions, your SSA, your RSA. They're all penciled in already. They're really hard for those local guys. They would nearly, if they can't find somewhere permanent to race, they're going to have to nearly change their cars to be able to join one of the other divisions.
Having been a racer yourself, Darren, you would know about the frustration for promoters and also fans where a couple of drivers don't like something that happened, so they go and start another division. How can Speedway Australia really consolidate the sport so that it doesn't have 1,000 different racing classes?
That is a great question, Craig, and it is something we monitor a lot. We don't allow any new classes, and it's as simple as that. We have too many as it is, and we have been able to reduce the number of classes over the last sort of 12, 16 months.